Morning, Shiloh Baptist Church.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. It is a personal joy always for me to be back here worshiping with you. And I would like to thank the Reverend Darrell Armstrong, a good friend and esteemed pastor of ABC of New Jersey, for giving me the privilege to be with you today and to stand behind this esteemed pulpit and to be with you in your continuing prophetic ministry in this city. I would like to also thank the ministry of the deacons and the hospitality team for always making me feel secure when I come here when Pastor Armstrong's not here, because I feel I could just sit with you and worship.
Amen.
So we thank you for the deacons and for the hospitality team. And I bring you greetings from Dr. Lee Spitzer, our senior regional pastor and executive minister, and the rest of your ministry staff at ABC of New Jersey region office in Hamilton Square. I would like to invite all of you to keep your Bibles open in front of you as we journey together back into the Word of God as it comes to us through the gospel readings that were read to us by Deacon Ellis. You know, as I continue to meditate and contemplate about what brings us together during this Advent season in a very special way, I cannot but help to be thrust back into the setting, the context in which Joseph and Mary first heard the Annunciation and the coming of the Messiah. And that context was a context that was full of fear and dread for the people of God. Mary and Joseph were fugitives from a genocidal governor, an instrument of Rome. The people of God were enslaved under cruel repression during that time, fed to lions and turned into entertainment. That was the context of the time that the birth of Jesus was told. It was, in the words of Charles Dickens, the best of times and the worst of times. It was the worst of times because it was a setting and a context of fear and trepidation from those who were under the rule of Rome. It was the best of times because it was in that setting that the good news came and was announced. The best of times and the worst of times. And so during this Advent season, my friends, I cannot help but also find myself in our present context, which is the best of times and the worst of times. It's the best of times because once again we gather here this morning to reenact that incredible good news of God's redemptive plan when He once and for all came to us through a Son named Jesus to be with us in the most incredible mystery of our faith, God with us, Emmanuel. That's what brings us in this season. It is the worst of times because once again we find ourselves and our nation and our cities and our communities in the grip of fear. And when I think about the grip of fear that has gripped the United States in the last few months and in recent weeks, I am brought back to one of the most symbolic source of fear in the Bible. And that was the fear of leprosy. You see, the Bible speaks a lot about leprosy. And so the theme of our sermon this morning is Jesus and the new leprosies. Jesus and the new leprosies. And so, hysteria over disease is not new. As Reverend Holloway revealed, I was a former nurse headed into medicine. So I'm aware about hysteria over disease and what that does to the mindset of a people. And so that was certainly the same in the case of leprosy in the United States. You see, leprosy was first discovered in the United States in the late 19th and 20th century in Texas, in Louisiana, and in Florida, and in New York. Panic and fear of contagion led in 1894 to the establishment of a quote-unquote home for the humane care of leprosy patients in Louisiana. Leprosy, the fear of the unknown, and the lack of trust in the medical expertise and even in science that fear brings about, overshadows any rational consideration, even of the remote possibility of contracting the disease from someone infected with it. It overshadows it. The fear overshadows every rational consideration. And with leprosy, the United States ended up with laws that not only isolated the ill, but stigmatized them and their families. Fear abandons rational approach of science. And you see, the Bible speaks a lot about leprosy. It was the symbol of everything that was ugly. And in recent days, we have seen that ugliness come up again. In the fear of the disease of Ebola, where hysteria swept over the entire country, stigmatized a people, and stigmatized even those who contracted the disease by giving their lives in the care of others. We've seen that also in the recent explosion of violence in our streets and in our cities. Fear seems to be gripping our communities again. And so, in the Bible, leprosy is a broader term that refers to everything that was unseemly. The Hebrew word for it, charaath, included every ailment that was not beautiful to the sight of people. Everything that was ugly, everything that was unclean or with blemish, was charaath. And so this symbolism extended to the whole understanding of a people that because leprosy was not curable by human standards in those days, it was then assigned as a curse from God and as a symbol of the destructive effects of sin. So when we think of leprosy in the biblical sense of the word, we are reminded of a worldview that thinks of everything that is ugly as something that contaminates our sense of what is proper. Leprosy has terrified humanity since ancient times. It is a powerful symbol that the Bible used to remind us of sin's spread and, and horrible consequences. And so it is that fear, wherever it rears its head, brings to the surface many dark sides of our humanity. You remember what happened after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in this country, in Hawaii. What happened to Japanese Americans? Because of fear, Japanese Americans in this entire United States were sent to internment camps simply because they were of Japanese ancestry. But they were Americans. That's what fear does. Fear creates prejudice and bias. It creates the urge to demonize the other. And it brings to our tongues vitriol that stigmatizes certain people. Where is the voice of the church in the midst of this fear? We are brought to our text today because references to leprosy over 60 times in the Old Testament and over a dozen times in the New Testament. The reference to leprosy have a different emphasis when we enter the New Testament. Understand the context and how that ancient worldview viewed leprosy. It undertakes a totally different emphasis in the New Testament because they stress God's desire to heal. We suddenly find Jesus freely touching people with leprosy. The outcast, the shunned. Jesus was touching them. And while people with leprosy traditionally suffered banishment from family and neighbors, Jesus broke from that tradition. He treated lepers with compassion, touching and healing them. And even though sometimes we still cannot understand God's infinite wisdom as to how people of goodwill and people of good faith contract diseases that couldn't be healed, we find in the Gospels a radical shift in the understanding of what God wants to do in our lives. And so it is that the question remains, what is the voice of the church in the midst of this? In these recent weeks, we have seen our streets erupting in rage. In rage because of injustice that reminds us of old and ancient injustices. They have come to us in the power of the media. And when events come through the power of the media, they come to us front and center with power that we normally do not experience when we think of what happens to us from day to day in our cities. But these injustices, my friends, have been there as long as human beings have been oppressing one another. And so indeed that it is the nature of injustice, that it is the nature of God's love, that God's love only responds to injustice. It is its nature to find a place in the public arena so that the pain can be processed. That is the nature of God's love. Because God's love cannot dwell in a place where there is unbrokenness, where in a place where there is wrong that needs to be righted. God, nature of God's love, whenever it enters our lives and the spheres of our existence, seeks to do justice always. Yes. Love and justice are linked in the economy of God. And so, as we find ourselves in these days, having once again to be reminded of the fears that are gripping our communities and our cities, we are also reminded in this Advent season of the same word that has echoed in the entire scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, that the voice of God in the narrative of redemption has said one theme since the beginning. Fear not. Fear not. And so it is that the first word uttered by the angels in announcing the birth of Jesus was fear not. For God's love from the time of Abraham up to now always enters the darkness that we still need to be bring up to light. Fear not. And so, my friends, our world is full of fear. And fear is the mother of all hate. Fear is the mother of all prejudice. Fear is the mother of all bias. And fear, as we see around the world, in the destruction and our capacity to destroy one another, is the mother of all violence. And so it is. Where is the voice of the church? Where is the voice of the church, especially in this Advent season? What can we do? As followers of Jesus, in a world that is still in the grip of fear, we are called to dispel falsehoods wherever we hear them. As followers of Jesus, we are called to dispense justice when there is injustice. As followers of Jesus, we must be ambassadors and proclaimers of God's love. Not the love that makes you and me feel good, but God's love. God's suffering and sacrificial love. And so in that task of proclamation, we are called to resist fear wherever we find it. Because fear dwells in the darkness. God's redemptive love entered into the darkness of human sin and brokenness. And we hear, therefore, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, God's voice saying, fear not. And this, my friends, means, among so many other things, that in the midst of bigotry and racial hatred, we say, fear not. In the midst of violence and cruelty, we say, fear not. In the midst of self-pride and arrogance, we say, fear not. And in the midst of the fear of want that gives birth to greed and avarice, we say, fear not. And in the midst of fear of the different, we say in this Advent season, fear not. And so it is that Jesus, when he healed the leper, said, do not tell others. This is not for show. But go to the one who can make reform and change happen in the policies of this land and tell them and tell him that, look at me, the kingdom of God has come. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.